Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Lee Rochford, CEO of Arrow Global. Please go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon, everyone. I'm also here with Matt Hodson, our CFO. The purpose of today's call is to provide you a short briefing on today's announcement that I hope everyone will agree is really exciting news for Arrow Global. At the end, Matt and I will be delighted to take any questions that people have, but I wanted to provide some guidance on the parameters for the call. We are here to talk about what we've achieved and the strategic rationale for it. We're not here to discuss this year's performance or give you more granular guidance on how to model this development. We are conscious that we need to do the latter with you at some stage, but we're keen to do this as soon as we're in a position to do that. And we intend to host a full teach-in during 2020, once all applicable regulatory requirements that we're under permit us to do so. So if I quickly recap on the key points from what we've actually announced today. We've successfully raised €628 million of third-party capital into an eight-year closed-end fund structure. Alongside, we're committing our own capital so that Arrow's future investment constitutes approximately 25% of the total fundraise. With our co-invest amount included, the total fundraise amount is therefore €838 million. We will co-invest up to €500 million alongside third-party money, and we're targeting €2 billion of total AUM before the end of 2020. All assets under management will be managed by AGG Capital Management, and we've announced today that alongside his role as CIO of Arrow Global, we've appointed Zach Louis as CEO of our fund management business to ensure that that meets our aspirations for the success of that business line. I'm delighted to say that we've seen exceptionally strong demand across a wide range of investors, covering Europe, North America, the Middle East and Asia, and representing pension funds, insurance companies, banks, family offices, endowment funds, and foundations. And we've received commitments from a number of high-quality investors across the capital raise. We'll begin deployment of the AUM early in 2020, which will begin to provide additional asset servicing revenue and fund management fee income to the group. This development should enable us to deliver our five-year targets on an accelerated timetable. This move will also support a continued reduction in leverage due to the co-invest structure, since we'll purchase fewer assets onto our own balance sheet than in recent years. We believe this development will provide us with significantly more flexibility when considering our future funding model. In addition, we'll receive new capital-light earning streams, further improving the quality of our earnings. And we have a scalable opportunity to grow capital-light asset management and servicing revenues through offering AMS services to the fund. I truly believe that this fundraise is transformational for our business model, and it represents the culmination of a considered plan that I set up from the moment I joined Arrow, when I saw a unique opportunity to help the business to take the next significant step towards being a capital-light asset manager. Over the last 3 years, we've put in place the building blocks to enable this morning's announcement. The acquisition program to build servicing capability in the high-margin niches that we've identified, both by geography and asset class. The debt refinancing program, One Arrow, and the cost reduction program that we announced in August. Whilst the business could have paused at this point and solely focused on those specific geographies and businesses, making accretive investments and growing servicing contracts and revenue, there was a much greater opportunity and prize. The addressable market remains immense, and we see an exciting opportunity to deploy our capability to attract capital than the €5 trillion allocated to alternatives globally, and significantly scale up our business with a diverse and well-resourced investor base. We've therefore gone much harder and faster at building something larger, more scalable, and repeatable at an industrial scale. We've done this rather than building something smaller and at the more local level. And while the latter approach would have resulted in a greater number of near-term wins from shorter-dated servicing contracts and smaller funds, it would not have been as repeatable and scalable. Instead, we now have large amounts of diversified third-party capital in an eight-year structure with a real opportunity to grow this much further over time. Our approach is clearly the right long-term strategy to maximize value for our shareholders and the culmination of an enormous amount of effort and focus to build something that we aim to be significantly bigger over time. We have a clear ambition to be a multi-billion euro asset manager. And I do think it's important to understand just how much work has been involved in reaching this stage. The fundraising has involved detailed engagement with a significant number of active investors in multiple meetings, calls, forensic due diligence meetings with many, in way more detail than the public markets participants can really undertake. And our progress has been remarkable, given that we only commenced that process just before the summer. However, we've not just been raising a fund. We've been building an entirely new business line, forming AGG Capital Management, seeking multiple new regulatory permissions, putting in place new governance arrangements, hiring new staff, and completely restructuring our internal business lines to align to the requirements of the new business. Although today is a major milestone, you shouldn't think that all of that work's entirely behind us, and we will continue to progress throughout 2020. To put all of this into perspective, when I recently asked the approximately 100 people at our senior leadership conference how many had been involved in this initiative, more or less the entire room stood up. So to those colleagues and their teams, many of whom I know are listening today, my supreme thanks go to you. We are immensely proud of your efforts. I believe that when financial services prosper, it's when they bring the right capital structure to solve the right problems. And throughout my career, I've seen markets during good times and bad times, and the funding markets tend to open and close in line with this. With a growing fund management business significantly enhancing the pools of capital available to Arrow, we're now optimally positioned to both grow and delever our business. We have access to a wide array of capital. Existing equity capital from being a PLC with supportive long-term shareholders, bond capital from credit investors, many of whom have been with us for 7 years or so, an RCF facility provided by supportive long-term banks, and an ABS facility that also demonstrates the quality of our underlying asset base. And now, fund capital from a diverse and very well-resourced LP investor base. This is the kind of diversification, a long-term financial runway, that very few companies in the financial sector have. And this positions us optimally to take advantage of the dislocation in the market. And as a reminder, the market we address is massive with long-duration assets. Therefore, the right long-term capital structure is the key to unlocking the value inherent in that through the cycle. Another significant benefit of building a fund management business is the accelerating effect it will have on our five-year targets, especially the doubling of asset management and servicing revenues and the growth of asset management and servicing margins. Firstly, as we've explained before, we will charge management fees on invested capital. And additionally, we'll make performance fees over target hurdle return rates. In addition, there's also a scalable opportunity to grow capital-light revenues by offering AMS services to the fund. And we've been clear for a long time now that this has been one of the main drivers behind building a sophisticated pan-European servicing platform that's best placed to service the high-value niches we can extract value from. And the reason today's announcement is transformational is that Arrow now has a unique position, putting itself as a platform that connects two huge markets. The 1 trillion euros of assets for sale from banks in our five markets, plus the secondary market they're in, and the 5 trillion euros allocated to alternatives markets with long-term capital to deploy in search of scarce yield. This will provide our company with sustainable growth opportunities for years to come. Now, while this is an extremely proud milestone for us, I'm conscious this announcement marks a significant development, and there is a lot to take in, especially when considering how to view and model the business in the medium term. As I noted at the beginning, we do intend to provide more information at a formal teach-in session next year, once all the applicable regulatory requirements we're under permit us to do so, as we've actually explained before. We will be clear on the positive impact we expect a scale fund management business to have on our strategic targets. After the ramp-up period and the associated setup costs, when we scale the fund manager into a multi-billion euro AUM business, we expect the positive impact on the quality of the earnings to be very material. But I would say today, we'd encourage you not to change your numbers before we have the teach-in session, but this is a strategically transformational event that positions Arrow very well for the future. So we've now got some time for some Q&A, operator. I just want to sort of reiterate again, as I noted, some answers will inevitably be restricted by the scope of the regulatory requirements, but I'd encourage anyone to answer any questions you have on your mind.
Thank you. If you wish to ask a telephone question, please signal by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad. Please ensure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, that is star 1 to pose a question. There will be a brief pause while we register your question. We will take our first question from Gary Greenwood of Shore Capital. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Oh, hi. I've got three questions, if that's okay. First one, I sort of like the fact that you're investing in the fund from your own balance sheet, because presumably that helps manage the conflict of interest that might otherwise be there. I wondered if there were any circumstances in which you would invest from your own balance sheet directly, as again through the fund going forward, or will all the investment go through the fund? So that's the first question. Second question is on asset life. So the asset life of the assets that you're buying is typically longer than 8 years. So presumably that means in order to sort of close the fund at the end of 8 years, you would need to sell assets before they'd fully collected out. So would it be your intention to sell those assets into a successor fund, or would there be an external buyer for those? And then lastly, just in terms of the fund investors itself, I was just wondering if you can give any details around the number of investors, third party, that have invested in the fund, and maybe some indication of sort of how big the largest is and the smallest.
Thanks, Gary. Various questions there. I think the simple point for the first question in terms of how we'll invest our own capital is people should expect broadly our investment to go in alongside the fund in the future. And I think the way to think about it is really what we're doing is opening up the Arrow origination machine, which has regularly originated opportunity far in excess of the own capital that we have to deploy, so that 75% goes through the fund and 25% goes through the Arrow balance sheet. At a high level, that's how I'd encourage people to think of it. In terms of the second question on asset lives, As you know, as you've identified, there is a trail of cash flow. The vast majority of cash flow pays back within the eight-year life of a fund. Towards the end, if there's trailing cash flows beyond it, then our focus will be on maximizing the value from the portfolio for the LPs that we're managing money for. There'll be various ways to do that, whether that's Arrow offering to buy the tail of the assets, another Arrow fund offering to buy the tail of the assets, or indeed another third party, and our focus will be on maximizing the returns to the funds. And then the final one, in terms of investors, we're not providing investor breakdowns today, but we do intend to provide much more granularity next year, not names or size, but to give you a better understanding of the vast investor base we're tapping into. And I think people will be pleasantly surprised by the geographic range of investors. We've got investors across a range of countries, from Europe to North America, but also the investor types that I was referring to. Good long-term money that will match nicely to the long duration of the assets, pension funds, investment insurance companies, family office, endowments, et cetera. So we'll definitely continue, as our fund management business builds over time, provide you good granularity on the different pockets of investors that we're tapping into.
That's great. Thank you very much.
We will take our next question from Phil Dobbin of Panmure Gordon. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Yep. Hi. I think you may have answered my question in the previous one, which is, I guess my understanding is that the co-investment displaces the existing planned investment on your balance sheet as you invest at 25% on a deal-by-deal basis. Is that correct?
That's absolutely right. So as we've said, you should see this as a slice of our origination capability now, and our 25% co-invest is really displacing the amount you've seen us invest year on year. And actually what we're guiding to is you should expect that to be less in the future than you might have seen in recent periods.
Right, that's fine.
As a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, please signal by pressing star 1. We'll take our next question. Cambo of JP Morgan, please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, guys. It's Gurdjieff at Cambo, JP Morgan. Just three questions. The first thing, in terms of the investment strategy for the fund, you know, is it going to be pretty similar to what you've done in the past? So I guess I'm just trying to understand, when you've gone to investors, you know, have you been sort of been able to look at your past track record and you know, show them how that's performed, and that's sort of given them confidence in investing in this, because obviously, you know, it's a pretty sizable raise in a pretty short space of time. So that's the first one, just investment strategy. The second one is, what sort of returns, you know, are these investors sort of expecting from the fund? You know, just sort of broad, you know, sort of high level numbers will be helpful. And then finally, is the co-investment only going to come from Arrow, or are there certain investors who may also want to co-invest and I guess potentially pay, you know, lower fees for that?
Thanks, Gurdjieff. So I think the way, I mean, one and two, I think we can answer together. And the way to think of this is exactly as you sort of indicated, I think, in your question, which is investors have looked very carefully at Arrow's investment track record, the returns we've made over the 15 years that we've been in business, and been able, because of the nature of the process, to subject to that to immensely, you know, detailed due diligence to get comfortable on the way we underwrite, and looking at our, you know, collections track record versus our initial underwrites, and they've got very comfortable effectively that our strategy is deploying into the five markets that we operate in alongside the servicing capability that we have to collect the assets we've invested into will produce a future return in line with the past, and that's what they're buying into. In terms of the co-invest we're calling out is Arrow. The construct of the fund has a number of ways for investors to invest and a number of investors in there. But we're not really going into any more detail there on third-party investors. The co-investor we're talking about is all Arrow's money.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Again, if you wish to pose a question, please press star 1 on your telephone. Our next question comes from Hugo Cruz of KBW. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you. Just a few questions, and I apologize, I missed the beginning, so I'm not sure if some of this has been answered. First, how quickly do you expect to deploy the assets? Because, you know, you have $600 million up front, which is quite a bit more than you've been investing in the past. So do you expect to take, you know, 1 to 2 years to invest it or quicker? Second, are you allocating any of your current portfolio to the fund as part of your co-investment commitment? And third, when you do you talk about, you know, you talked about the market expectations in the medium term, what exactly do you mean by that? You know, which year do you mean specifically? Thank you.
So, hi, it's Matt Hobson here. I can answer those. So, look, I think on speed of deployment, we've got a track record of deploying significant amount of capital of our own, but we've also been for several years co-investing alongside other people. As an example of that, in 2018, we deployed $250 million alongside $1.6 billion of third-party capital in co-investment structures. So we don't see this as a massive ramping up of our capability to invest at scale, and therefore we believe we'll be able to to deploy the funds we've raised relatively quickly, but sensibly as well. We're not going to kind of, it's not going to be all done in the first quarter of next year or anything crazy like that. It will take time, but it's, you know, and I think the best guidance to that we've given is we've called out a moderate reduction in our annual spend, which will give you a sense if we're investing 25% of how quickly we'll deploy the total funds capital. The current intention would be that this will be effectively new cash from Arrow. It's not moving assets off the balance sheet into the fund. Never say never, and that there may be instances where that might happen, but it's not the intention that would be a significant part of what we do. And I guess on your final point on consensus, look, I think we have good visibility of a consensus out for 2020. Yeah, that's kind of what we were talking about. I don't think that we kind of look much beyond that in terms of our view on consensus.
Okay, perfect. Thank you very much.
It appears we have no further questions at this time. Back to our host.
Okay, thank you, operator. Well, thank you, everybody, for joining. You know, this, as we've said, an exciting moment for the company. We've talked about this year as being a pivot year for us, and delighted to get to the end of the year with this essential building block in place, which I think now sets us up well for the strategy that we set out just about a year ago at our Capital Markets Day, and look forward to speaking to you all in March to update you on the full year 2019. So thanks very much.
This will conclude today's conference call. Thank you all for your participation. You may now disconnect.